You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Welcome to another episode of JX Arts. Each month, we take a look at what's happening in music and the arts through the eyes and ears of our entertainment guides here at JPR. Vanessa Finney is the arts reporter at JPR. She's also the host of the podcasts My Better Half and The Creative Way. Hi, Vanessa.
Good morning.
And Dave Jackson curates music on JPR's Rhythm and News service. He manages the music staff and is also a host of Open Air. Hi, Dave.
Good morning.
So I understand you invited a special guest to join us today.
Yeah, coming up this weekend at Mount Ashland is the Alpine Music Festival. It's going on Saturday and Sunday up at Mount Ashland. And there's a lot of local music acts there. And I have Gabby Connor. She's the marketing manager at Mount Ashland on the phone to talk to us about that. Gabby, are you there?
Yeah, thanks for having me, Vanessa and Dave. I'm excited to be on and to chat about our upcoming Alpine Music Festival.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Tell us just a little bit about the Alpine Music Festival to get started.
Yeah, so Mount Ashland Ski Area is excited to present in partnership with the Rhythm and Sound Project and Rockaferry the first ever Mount Ashland Alpine Music Festival. It's two full days of live music, as you mentioned, this Saturday, July 25th and Sunday, July 26th. Featuring 12 local artists, lectures, and film at the top of the Siskiyou Crest. You can catch concerts at the Rhythm and Sound Project stage, which is just outside the Karen and Sid DeBoer Lodge, and then ride the Sonnet chairlift up to enjoy more sets at our Rockaferry stage at the top of our Sonnet run. Mount Ashland is such an incredibly unique location for a concert venue. It's the only one of its kind in the Rogue Valley, and it's not very often that people get to experience a summer concert at 6,500 feet with cooler temperatures and many times above the smoke zone, so it's really the perfect escape, and this weekend it's going to be 67 degrees and sunny up at the mountain, so it'll be 20 degrees warmer down in the valley. It'll be really, truly a nice escape.
It's a bring a sweater kind of weather for the evening stuff, for sure. Yeah. So
It's like a clean air shelter, but with entertainment.
There we
go. Exactly, right?
So tell us a little about the Rhythm and Sound Project. That was new to me when I was looking that up.
Yeah, so the Rhythm and Sound Project are the ones that are providing the stage to us. They're a fantastic organization. Peter runs that, and he's wonderful. So we'll have multiple bands playing on that stage. It's one of those like moving stages, which is great. So it'll be in an awesome location, and we'll have great music on there.
Okay, and then Rockaferry, they're a music creator or music organization, a creator space at Rogue Valley Mall, and they're doing the other stage. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. They're providing all the sound technicians for the other stage. So we're really, really excited to be partnering with both of them.
Great. So Mount Ashland is known for skiing, and you're now expanding into summer events. Tell us about that transition and what the goal is with all that.
Yeah, so over the past few years, Mount Ashland Association has shifted its focus to expand to more year-round offerings with a goal for our community to see Mount Ashland as a hub for all of their recreation adventures. We don't know what the snow will look like in 50 years. That's scary to say, but expanding our off-season offerings not only ensures the ski area's sustainability so that we can continue to be a community asset, but also invites up those who may not be interested in winter recreation or may not be able to afford it. Our summer events are a much less costly barrier for entry and are just more accessible overall. So we're just, growing the community, which is fantastic.
So what goes on there other than like this festival? What can people find up there for the summer?
Yeah, so post-Alpine Festival, we have four drive-in movies the first four Saturdays in August. Those were just announced, and they sell out extremely fast, even with adding two additional Saturdays.
I saw that E.T. was playing up there as one of them.
Yeah, E.T., Mary Poppins, Night of the Living Dead, and The Goonies.
Ooh,
so
Night
we have a great
Living
lineup. Yep. And then on September 19th, we have our second annual Oktoberfest, which is going to be bigger and better than ever this year. We have our Haunting on Mount Ashland that happens every October. So lots of exciting events that are happening in the off-season.
So you guys went with a lot of local musicians for the Alpine Music Festival. Who was involved in that? And why did you guys start with local musicians instead of like trying to get big-ticket acts?
Yeah, so we're a community asset, and we're here to serve the Rogue Valley. Being a local mountain, after all, we're inviting up and supporting local talent. It's an opportunity to give them exposure to an incredibly welcoming community who just celebrates music and wants to just have a great time in the Alpine. So lineup includes the Alchemistas and Slow Corpse, the Bouray, Liquid Violet. That's more of our Saturday lineup. And then for Sunday, we have folks like Ashley Flynn and the Riveters, EL Salad, $8 Mountain, Jackalope Blue. So we're so excited about all the artists that are playing up there and really, really happy to be supporting local talent.
Yeah, it is kind of a who's who of the folks you can see around town. So it'll be a fun local event up there for this coming up this weekend. So besides music, what's going on up there for the festival?
Yeah, so we have both lectures and film planned. So, you know, you can take a break from the sunshine and the music and head inside. We'll be doing a lecture on Sunday about the history of Mount Ashland. And then for film, both days we'll have Universal Language. It's an anthology of sustainable community. And that's a documentary short film directed by Riley Carter and Sierra Garrett that features stories of creation and resiliency and community building and education to engage audiences in the intersections between the arts and the sciences. So we are really excited to support that film as well as have that lecture.
And people heading up there, what should they know heading up to the mountain for this weekend?
Yeah, so just make sure you bring your sunscreen. We're encouraging guests to bring blankets and low back chairs. And then also just checking our website, reading instructional signs about how to ride a chairlift. And you can bring in your own food and non-alcoholic beverages and overall just to get ready for an exciting weekend in the Siskiyous.
All right. So where can people find tickets?
Yeah, so tickets can be found on mountashland.com. The tickets range from $35 for a single-day ticket to $65 for a multi-day ticket, and children 6 and under are free. We do encourage people to purchase before the weekend starts, as prices will go up starting Saturday the 25th. And, yeah, as I mentioned, mtashland.com is where you can find tickets.
Great. Well, thanks, Gabby, for joining us today and letting us know what's going on. That is the Alpine Music Festival going on this weekend at Mount Ashland. Tickets are available at mtashland.com, correct?
Yep, that's correct. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks a lot, Gabby.
That sounds like a wonderful event.
Yeah, I'm thinking about how hot it's going to be here on the valley floor and being up there listening to music and hanging out with, well, a lot of these people I know in these bands. So just hanging out with friends up there might be a fun thing to go do.
Well, I like the title of it, the Alpine Music Festival. You think of it up on a mountain.
Right. And I know like one of those, I know one of the stages you'll ride a chairlift up to. So that's kind of fun. You can
I love that they're doing that now. When I lived at a Southern Californian snow resort, ski resort for many years, Big Bear Lake, California, the ski place Snow Summit started to have summer concerts and was really popular.
Yeah. I've seen some cool stuff like that in around Tahoe, too. So,
If you're just joining us, you're listening to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. Our entertainment guides are JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson, host of Open Air on JPR's Rhythm and News Service. Vanessa.
Yeah.
In addition to the Alpine Music Festival this weekend, I hear there's something special going on here on the campus of Southern Oregon University, an interesting new play by Joe Charter.
Right. And I'll just mention it briefly as a reminder, because I know the playwright was on your show recently. But this is a stage reading of a new play by Joe Charter. It's going to be in the SOU Meese Auditorium, which is at Siskiyou and Whiteman, this Saturday, July 25th at 7 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. And the movie's called John Beeson, an Indian Advocate. So this is about a white pioneer living in Talent, Oregon in the 1850s. He spoke out against his community's treatment of American Indians, and he became a champion for Native American rights. So this has a $20 fee, and that goes toward fundraising for SOU Native American students. And you can get advance tickets at Paddington Station in downtown Ashland, or you can get more info and possibly tickets at jbeeson.com, jbeeson.com. They're also available at the door.
When I was talking with Joe Charter about this play and the reading of this play, it just intrigued me because I didn't know about John Beeson. I certainly didn't know what he was doing here in Talent. And the fact that he actually wrote a book and he went to Washington, D.C. And I mean, this guy was just not advocating here next to his neighbors. He was advocating writ large to Congress.
And one of the first true anti-racists.
Exactly. Yeah. He was one of those radicals like John Brown. And a lot of people don't know about John Brown. And here we have in Oregon our own version of John Brown, John Beeson.
Yep. So that's this Saturday. If you want to learn a little bit more, it's a really worthy story. Good example.
I believe it. Now, there's a different kind of reading happening next week in Ashland, presented by the William Blake Institute.
Yeah, they're inviting the community to Poeticon 2. So this is the second annual. It's a one-day creative arts mashup. There's poets, musicians, visual artists. It's an evening celebrating the power of the spoken word and interdisciplinary creativity. So that's a week from Friday, Friday, July 31st, and it's at two Ashland venues on that day. It starts out at Hermeticus Bookshop. Have either of you seen where that is?
No.
It's in the Railroad District. Yeah. This is one that had to move from Talent after that, after suffering from the fire. Yeah. So this is over on B Street in Ashland.
What's the name of that?
Hermeticus, yeah.
That's H-E-R-M. A little part of Ashland that, like, especially people from out of town just know nothing about, and there's a lot going on down there.
Yeah, it's like Brooklyn to, I don't know, if downtown's Manhattan,
right.
That's Brooklyn down there. You know, we've got some brownstones
right.
and craftsmen little cottages.
Right.
Yeah, just a more mellow vibe down there. So at Hermeticus on the 31st, things kick off with live music at 5 o'clock. Then there's an open mic at 5:30. There's several featured poets, a musical guest, a featured visual artist, and then later that same day at Beet Farm Co-op on Lithia Way, doors open at 7:30, and they're staying open until late, quote, late. There's going to be refreshments available. There'll be an open mic and also featured performances, so a couple of poets, a couple of musical guests, and a couple of visual artists. And you can get more information on this at phoenixhelio.com.
PhoenixHelio.com. Now, I understand there's a Music Oregon event.
Oh, yeah. So this is the wrap-up. Music Oregon is a Portland-based organization, nonprofit organization, but they recently merged with Music Portland, and now they're expanding their scope to really concentrate on the whole state, not just all the arts, musical arts that are happening in Portland. So to do this, to figure out how they could best serve all these communities, they set out on a statewide listening tour a couple months ago. I attended the one in Jacksonville. That was the closest one to me.
That's right. I remember hearing about
that. Yeah, and I saw a lot of familiar faces, you know, people that have been here during your live interviews. So everyone from venues. Well, let me tell you what this is first, and then I'll tell you who's welcome to join in. So they did a lot of in-person listening, and now they're offering a final wrap-up virtual listening session. If anybody still wants to get involved and couldn't make it in person, it's going to be held by Zoom on Thursday, July 30th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. And these are some people who might want to attend: independent musicians and performers, venue operators, bookers, promoters, music producers, engineers, managers, talent agents, any musical entrepreneurs, music educators, community organizers working with both arts and culture. So this is a chance to put your two cents in on what you think could make our local music system thrive. They're listening. And you can get more information on that Zoom and the organization at musicoregon.org. And if you don't want to attend the Zoom, there's an easier way to get your opinion across. There's an assessment survey that's open, and you can just go on that website as well and fill out that survey.
And what's the impact of people putting their opinion on the table?
Well, they're taken into consideration. There's some funding available that could be available for communities. The need for education arose in some of these conversations. Some artists talk about, I don't know how to promote myself. I don't know how to connect with bookers and, you know, create a press kit. And so they were talking about having panel discussions and, you know, maybe monthly or quarterly educational events to guide through this. I remember in Jacksonville, we had a couple of venue operators from Klamath talking about, how do we get onto the circuit? How do we get great artists out here in this section of the state?
Okay, so it's entertainers helping entertainers.
Yes.
People helping people.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. I'm joined by our entertainment guides, JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney, who also hosts the podcast My Better Half and The Creative Way, and Dave Jackson, who hosts Open Air and curates music on JPR's Rhythm and News service. So, Vanessa, we started the show with a guest from the Alpine Music Festival, but you have a guest from another kind of festival.
I do. Julia Cuppy, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, great. Julia is the festival director and board president of the Loop Fest, the Loop Lab and New Work Festival, to be exact. It's coming up August 7th through the 10th at the Hive. A lot of things going on down there in downtown Grants Pass. Julia, what's the mission of the Loop Fest? Let's start with that.
Sure. The Loop Lab and New Work Festival is a 501c3 nonprofit that has been missioned to elevate and expand the canon of young adult theater by creating sustainable pathways for commissioning, developing, and producing new plays and musicals for young adults to perform.
Why did you see the need for that?
Well, I've been a theater educator and theater professional for the last 23 years, and one of the things that I found in the classroom with young people is that we provide opportunities for them to really dig deep with their play and musical and a rehearsal process. And I noticed that a lot of these plays and musicals were not intentionally written for a 14-year-old to perform. They tend to be these Broadway-produced pieces that professional adult actors perform. And then as the years progress, they sort of trickle down into the amateur market, into a classroom. And so we get a lot of high school programs performing beautiful stories, but we're not always intentionally written for that younger performer. And so sometimes there's a disconnect. And I needed to help that and help my students and help our industry at large provide an opportunity for writers to promote those kind of works.
I love that. You know, we hear about progress made in Hollywood and elsewhere about other people with, you know, not good parts. I guess I'm thinking of older women, you know, older actresses.
Sure.
Talk about that. But I can see that for youth as well. First of all, if you're a playwright and you don't really know the youth mind, you could sort of fall into some stereotypes when you're writing for them. And then, yeah, if the kids are tackling, you know, traditional characters in the canon, it could feel a little out of reach for them emotionally.
That's right. It's hard to watch a 15-year-old Willie Loman.
Yeah, exactly. Jaded, burnout.
Right.
Just not there. You've got to dig deep for that. Well, what has the response been like since you started this?
Yeah, so we started 4 summers ago in the Grants Pass area. And that first summer was us experimenting with how would this new work development process need to look differently than other processes that exist in the regional theater landscape. And we started with really our why and having that real clear vision on we're needing to provide a safe and brave space for skilled writers to work for this demographic provided us an opportunity to think about, okay, well, we need to start with something called radical hospitality. Mm. Radical hospitality is about creating a system that serves your artists the way that they need and want to be served. We all know the golden rule, right? And that is treat others the way that you want to be treated. Well, that sometimes doesn't always translate because we all need things differently and different works require different kinds of support. So we start there and we find what those needs are with those writers. Then we consider our audience, our community. What is our audience and our community needing in the stories that we're helping develop? And then lastly, and most importantly, is how do we center the youth voice and their lived experience and making sure this story is being written with authentic representation of their thoughts and insights and experiences at their age.
Yeah, and how better than directly from the source. Now, I noticed that facilitated interactions with the audience is a good part
right.
of your model. In a couple of minutes
right.
we have left, why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, the Loop Festival is named the Loop because of the feedback loop that comes from the development process in the rehearsal room and most importantly in that moment when the audience sees it for the first time. So when people come to the Loop Festival, they're going to be audience responders. And after each piece, they will go through a facilitated talkback, structured talkback. And we use these protocols to help make sure the artists are safe in their presentation because it's vulnerable as an artist to present to the first time to people, right? And that audiences feel like they have a structure to share important insights that they are having that then will inform the piece in the future. So it is very interactive and vital for the life of this piece to be informed by the audience. And we need a lot of different kinds of people in the audience to provide that perspective.
Okay, so on that note, how can people get more details if they want to attend or participate and help with that feedback loop?
So we have a website, theloopfest.org, where you can buy tickets to be there in person. And also we have a live stream where anyone from anywhere in the whole world could tune in and also participate, as we do then have an online chat that they would be able to participate in the response process to.
Terrific.
Julia, this is Mike Green. Before we let you go, I was wondering about the mentoring process with these young people and what kind of relationship you have with the professional theater industry here in Southern Oregon, including OSF.
Sure. Right now, we're definitely I'm good friends with lots of folks at Oregon Shakespeare Festival. My background is in the professional regional theater world. I was the director of education at La Jolla Playhouse for six seasons. And in that space, I learned very quickly and actually from some of the best that this new work development process is central for the future of American theater. And so I'm taking those processes that also exist with our friends at Oregon Shakespeare Festival and in other plays like the Ashland New Play Festival. A lot of these processes exist in our valley. And what better place to have our headquarters but in Southern Oregon? We have students from all around Southern Oregon participating too. And that's a really beautiful thing to see our valley come together to support these young people, support these stories and these writers that are doing some great work.
Well, clearly there was a need for it because I read that you got 176 submissions in less than 10 days. So
That's right, when we opened our submission process. That's right.
Yeah. Okay, Julia Cuppy, thank you for your work and good luck with this year's festival.
Well, thank you. And we hope to see a lot of our Southern Oregonians there to help us out.
Wow, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's
really good
cool.
Vision.
Yeah. I was going to, if we have a couple of seconds dovetailing into youth theater, the Riverbend Live has a youth theater production going on the 31st and the 1st, free concerts at Riverbend Park in Winston. And it's the youth theater production of Into the Woods. It's a musical featuring a who's who of fairy tale characters like Cinderella and Little Red Riding Hood and Jack of Beanstalk fame and witches and stuff like that, and that's put on by the Youth Theater, Riverbend Live Youth Theater Productions.
How fun.
Yeah.
Well, there is certainly no shortage of talent here in the Rogue
True.
Valley.
True, yeah.
You're listening to JX Arts on the Jefferson Exchange. Our entertainment guides are Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson. Now, if you'd like to contribute to this conversation, tell us about what you're enjoying around our region. Just send an email to jx@jeffnet.org. And we'll try to get it on the air in our next episode, but be sure to put JX Arts in the subject line. Now, Dave, we haven't heard any music yet.
Ah, yeah. Well, the album that this month I'm most focused on is a new one from Alison Russell. It's called In the Hour of Chaos. And Alison Russell was part of a duo called the Birds of Chicago with her now husband, JT Nero. And she was part of a collective called Our Native Daughters with Amethyst Kia and Rhiannon Giddens and Layla McCullough. They're a folk collective focused on Black music from the South with Caribbean influences. Layla McCullough of that group, her parents were from Haiti. So there's a lot of that just flavor of kind of Gulf Coast Southern music going on in there. So her new album is In the Hour of Chaos. It's her third solo record, and it's really about kind of psychic healing, all the songs are. She was the victim of abuse growing up, and she has all kinds of guests who, if you listen to Open Air, you've heard Cassius Culpepper and Devin Gilfillian, Ruby Amanfoo, Nora Jones, Joy Ladekun. And here's a tune that she did with Brittany Spencer. It's kind of about sisterhood and the women, especially the Black women in her life who've helped her out a lot. This one's called Black Lavender.
What's it gonna take? Lavender tea and kindness. Hey, Black Swan, what went wrong?
turned on. You don't know how beautiful you are.
I love it.
Yeah, it's that one's got kind of a nice sort of a rock groove to it, a little bit of soul and funk in there, and then there's a little bit of folk, there's just a little bit of kind of everything, and she's always got a great voice. So, and then this other song, Chaos Theory, is sort of the would-be title track to In the Hour of Chaos. She's featured Sarah Watkins, who you may know from Nickel Creek, and I'm With Her and the Watkins Family Hour, and working with her brother as well. And then Kishona joins her on this track as well. And she's a singer-songwriter and a music therapist who focuses on veterans and formerly incarcerated people using music to kind of help heal. And so here's that tune, Chaos Theory.
I want to hold you. I want to hold you when your shoulders shake. Want to soothe you. I wanna spoon you when you hide the tracks of tears on your face. Now you're not a clown, love, only human like the rest of us. You're just mud and lightning, sea foam and sunshine, stardust. I wanna see you, baby.
And that was from Chaos Theory. That someone described that as kind of a psychic back rub.
I've never heard spooning mentioned in a song before. I really like that.
She mentions in some of the discussions about it that there's platonic cuddling that it's helpful for people. It's like, and like I say, it's a psychic back rub or a big hug. And
Dave, I got to tell you, I understand why you're the music curator. Those songs are so different, but they are so spot on. They just are incredible.
Yeah, on that album, there's just all kinds of different sounds on it like that, but it does really focus on sort of healing and coming together and friendship, and it's smiley and happy.
Okay, well, we've got about 3 minutes left. Let's get to some free local concerts that people can attend. Here's some more music.
Yeah, I don't have any more clips today, but upcoming tonight at Riverbend Live, I mentioned the Youth Theater at Riverbend Live next week. Tonight there is Friday at Riverbend Live. It's cowboy poetry and Western music. Every year they do, it's like they have cowboy humor and cowboy poetry and sort of Western music, and it differs from like Nashville country and Americana music in that these people kind of lived the life, and they're out there doing that. And so you can catch Andy Hedges, Dakota Robinson, Kristen Harris, and Jake Riley. And one of the things I said about Dakota Robinson is he worked on ranches throughout the South and the Southwest, so he's a real live cowboy. And now he shoes horses, and he says it's to support his poetry habit. Because there's no money in poetry, but there is in shoeing horses. So that's going on this Friday. It's the Into the Woods that I mentioned earlier is next Friday and Saturday. They're doing that two nights. Half Shell, Music on the Half Shell is in Stewart Park in Roseburg. We talked about that last time. This week it's Garrett T. Willie. He's a blues rock kind of guy, kind of blazing guitarist, gravelly voice, fits in well with the blues thing. And then we talked a little about Bella Rain, a 19-year-old guitar player last month here, and she's been all over the region, and on the 28th she'll be playing for free at Music on the Half Shell. Teenage guitarist, she was known for collaborations with the extended Grateful Dead family, and she'll also be playing in August in Grants Pass as part of the Terrapin Road Show, and she's opening that show, and she's releasing her first single, actually her own first single, this Friday, so we'll be playing that for you.
Cool. Youth.
Okay. So there's a lot happening around our region. I know there was the Ashland Independent Film Festival and the Sundial Festival. We just didn't have enough time. There's some time in August, but we'll get to them next month. That's all the time we have, sadly. Thank you both.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
My guests were JPR Arts reporter Vanessa Finney and Dave Jackson, host of Open Air on JPR's Rhythm and News Service. I'm Mike Green.